Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode here at You Can Rest Here. So, we're back in the studio today, and I'm sat with none other than the Dr. Esther Longe. So excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I was saying that I hope we behave well because we can be quite naughty.
I can't really promise this.
You can't promise it.
But I'm going to do my best.
We'll do our best. How are you resting in this season of your life?
Yeah, it's amazing to be living in answered prayers. Mm. But the answered prayers also come with their own responsibility. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've quickly learned in this season is that of my own strength, I can do nothing.
Nothing.
So one of my most helpful prayers is, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, God. And I find that literally there's grace that is sufficient for every assignment, you know. And so I'm resting in that grace.
Yes, and we're putting what?
Pressure on grace.
Hallelujah. It's so funny that we're talking about the Holy Spirit because it is the Holy Spirit that is the reason why we're both sat here.
Hey.
So I'll give a brief story, little overview of how this has come about. So in 2017, 18?
I checked the date.
You checked the date.
It was 2019.
Okay.
Five years.
So in 2019, the little girl over here, by the way, we're talking about walking with the Holy Spirit if you haven't already seen from the title. But this little girl, you know,
I'm the little girl.
Oh,
wow, okay.
I'm the little girl.
And so I'm this, 25.
I told her she doesn't look a day past 10, you know, very young. She's turning a very big age soon, but don't tell anybody.
Wow.
So this little girl over here, I'm walking with the Holy Spirit, you know, and I start hearing, you know, the voice of the Lord a bit more. So one day I see this lady, she was pregnant at the time. And I see her and it's just like the Lord starts like talking to me about this person. I'm like, God, hold on. Let me get home first. So I get home and the Holy Spirit says to me, open Instagram and find this person. I didn't know her name. I didn't know what she did. I didn't know who was friends. I literally searched like thousands of people. Then I finally saw a profile that looked like it could have been you. So I clicked on it. The Holy Spirit then says to me, start recording. Don't plan. I didn't plan what I was going to say. He just said, start recording. So I think I said in voice note that I don't know what I'm here for, but I'm just going to speak according to whatever the Lord instructs me. So I start speaking, sharing different things that only have started making sense how many years after. Mm. So I just want to even thank the Holy Spirit for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he really does everything well.
He does. And it's so remarkable. Every time I think about that story, I'm just like, wow. Because literally, the Lord planted this relationship 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm, so good.
Hallelujah. Good. So for those of you twiddling your thumbs and wondering where your friends and your sisters are coming from, just submit to the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit?
Wow. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our friend, our comforter, our guide, our helper. Our sponsor, our enabler. The Holy Spirit wants to be all that and more to us. And I think that you only enjoy the measure of the Holy Spirit to the measure that you surrender and submit and allow him to be all those things to you. So that's his JD, but it's up to you, his job description, but it's up to you to actually allow him to be all those things in to and through you.
You see, it's so interesting that in the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit, right? From Genesis, we see him, but the Holy Spirit came upon special people in the Old Testament, right? But now, what we have is gold.
Yes.
Because he doesn't now just come upon you. It's like Bezalel and Aholiab, he came upon them. But now, he lives in us. And I've started thinking about what a costly gift it is to have the Holy Spirit. It's not just him falling on you. This is now he has decided that I want to live on the inside of you. It's different. And that means that you have access to God intimately 24/7.
Yes. Yes. Tell me what you mean by costly gift.
It's a costly gift because a son had to die for you to have it.
Yep. Yeah, so you now understand why it's so painful to the Christian life for you not to utilize it. I mean, to be honest, nothing that we do changes the godness of God the goodness of God.
Yeah.
But it will be so painful to get to the end of time, to get to the throne room of God, and then you see all that your life could have been, and it wasn't because you didn't allow yourself to utilize this amazing person that lives inside of you.
Imagine somebody living in your house and you never talk to them.
Talk to them.
You never check on them. You never ask them how they're feeling. You and that person has they have all knowledge because the Holy Spirit is described as a teacher. So they know everything, but you never go to that person who knows everything for everything.
Yeah.
What would you say was your first encounter with the Holy Spirit, or maybe a memorable one that you are like, yeah, I know this. I know there's someone living inside of me.
Wow. Okay, I don't know about first, but memorable one is a bit interesting. So
yeah.
I don't know, for those who may know or may not know, so I survived a plane crash right in 2006, so it'll be 17 years in October. And when I was getting on the plane, I heard a voice, which I now know is the voice of the Holy Spirit, telling me to sit at the back of the plane. Now my seat was in the middle, and I was really upset with the fact, because I like to sit at the front of the plane, because I used to say then that patience was not my virtue, so I would want to sit in the front, but all of the front was taking over, right? And so I was in the middle, and I just heard a voice saying, go sit at the back of the plane, with somebody who had signaled to me. And so I sat down beside her, and the plane took off, gained altitude, you know, and shortly after, you know, the plane started to drop, you know. And you don't enter a plane thinking it's going to happen to the plane, right? So this is 11 o'clock in the morning, and the lights in the plane had gone on because it was dark outside, and, you know, people were screaming, you know, Muslims screaming Allah, Christians screaming Jesus, children crying. Long story short, because that's not why we're here, but the plane crashed, and I was literally sitting the same way I was sitting in the air. I was sitting on grass in the same seat with my seatbelt on, under my seat. My Motorola Razr had fallen from the clip, but it was beside me, clipped it back, you know, and I got out of that situation. And I say, it's not that everybody that was sitting where I was sitting, that's how we landed, because the person that was sitting beside me, the impact flung her somewhere else. And if I hadn't obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, oh my God, if I hadn't moved, I said, oh no, why am I sitting at the back? I don't want to sit at the back. Do you know what I mean? I want to get off quickly. I will not be literally here
right now.
I won't be. So I guess if you're talking about memorable moments with the Holy Spirit, that's definitely top 10.
The Holy Spirit saved your life.
Literally saved my life.
You see, I will never get, like, that story will never get old. No matter how much, like, I hear it, I watch it, do you know that it would have still even been the Holy Spirit if you moved and nothing happened to that plane?
True.
And I think sometimes we await something major happening for you to know that you should have listened to the Holy Spirit.
But do you know that sometimes it's actually Holy Spirit even training us into this life of obedience?
Yeah.
Because if you don't obey in the little things, the day that your destiny is supposed to change, the day that your answered prayer is supposed to happen, if you have not cultivated a habit of listening and obeying the Holy Spirit with speed, you will not know, because the day will start and end like a normal day, and you will not know that that is the day that your life should have changed.
You won't know that 5 minutes he told you to wait in that restaurant
was when you meet that person.
Exactly.
That will now be the one that, and a lot of times we think that, oh, we meet the person and the person is the end. No, the person is the one that introduces you to either your spouse or introduces you to that business or whatever. Yes. And honestly, we rack our brains trying to figure out so many things that God has already. Psalm 139 verse 16 says, my days were written in your book even before the foundation of the earth. Meaning that we are actors on a stage. So all the times that you're hitting your head saying, oh, what should I do? Oh, I'm trying to figure it out by myself. There's already a script that has been written concerning your life. Yeah. So why don't you press into the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Who am I supposed to be today? Yes. What am I supposed to do? Yes. How am I supposed to be a blessing? How am I supposed to serve?
Yes.
And as you're doing that, you find yourself walking in purpose, walking in whatever it is that God has for you. And then you look back on your life and you're like, oh my God, I didn't think I would be here. But your life is a series of obedience encounters.
To the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about this question as well, like one of my first encounters, and I couldn't like pinpoint something specific, maybe I might be able to, but I was thinking about how I feel like how I got to know the Holy Spirit had to change, right? Because I got to know him as my comforter, right? It's like he saved your life. I had to know him as my comforter, because when I gave my life to Christ, afterwards, after maturing a little bit, I entered into a season of mental turmoil.
Right.
So panic attacks and anxiety. So the Holy Spirit literally became my therapist and my comforter. Mm. So before a panic attack comes, he will say, okay, it's about to start. Let's walk out of the office. So this was when I was doing my law school externship. Let's walk out of the office and go outside and get some fresh air. And sometimes I'll delay, or I'll be like, I'm fine. Next thing you know, breath, I'm gasping for air. People are coming to tap me. Are you okay? Then I'll now go. And a second, if I left a second earlier, maybe something different would have happened. So I'm so grateful to have known him as a comforter, but I had to unlearn him in that one dimension.
Yeah.
Because when I would start feeling better, and I would experience the healing of the Holy Spirit, it almost felt like, where are you now? I don't really know if, is it only when I am in mental anguish that you are defending my soul? Or are you always there? Do you feel like you've had to rise up to a new understanding of who the Holy Spirit is in different seasons of your life?
Definitely. Right now, in this stage of my life, I know the Holy Spirit as my master planner, master strategist. You know, because we're in this world. You know how much confusion there is. You know how the economy is going, where it's going, and all of that stuff. And as I lean more into leadership positions, you know, people are looking to you for answers. Yeah. They're looking to you for direction. You know, I do a lot of coaching, and people listen. Because you've never met this person before.
Yeah.
And the person is telling you deep, deep things. And I'm just like, help me, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Help me to help this person. Because they paid for this service. Yes, so it just might not even just, you have to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, I just feel the Holy Spirit just downloading, telling me where to go, how to go. Person now starts crying. And I'm like, it could only have been you, Holy Spirit.
To you.
It could only have been you, you know. Or then you find that, you know, and multiple roles, you're a wife, you're a mother, you know, a daughter, you know. And now in this stage of my life, I'm finding that with parents, you know, you have to, even there's a wisdom, because they're getting older, so you're finding that they are depending on you a lot more. And I'm like, the other day I was almost crying, because I'm like, Lord, I've never been in this place before. So there's so many things that require us as human beings to adapt, but you don't have to adapt without help. The Holy Spirit wants to adapt with you. And I like how you said about maturing. So as you mature, you move from just being a comforter, just being led to obey, to him teaching you profound things, to him showing you profound things, to him. There's so many times that people call me to speak, and a lot of times they don't even tell me what I'm going to be saying. Do you know what I mean? There's times I've gone to speaking engagements, and literally it's as I'm getting there that they're sending me the questions, and I'm like,
what do I do now? Literally,
what do you need me to do with this?
Literally.
But one prayer that I pray is, Lord, as I open my mouth, fill it.
Yes.
And once I hear him say, open your mouth and I'll feel it, I'm like, let's go. And last year, a lot of the stuff that I said went viral. And those days, I was probably my most tired, my most stretched, my most, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean? And as I opened my mouth, the Holy Spirit just spoke. And when I watch those things back, I'm like,
who said that?
I'm like, what's that mean? Listen, shout out to the Holy Spirit. Like, yes. A lot of times, I'll be like, Holy Spirit, you are the one.
Honestly.
You're really the one.
Honestly.
Even in navigating relationships, you know, we were talking about the friendship episode that you did, you know, and as we go older, you know, even, you know, in matters of the heart, not even just, you know, spousal, but with friendships, it's so easy to be misunderstood, misconstrued. And a lot of times, you want to dig in and say, what is it? Even me too, I'm busy. Even But the Holy Spirit will just say, do this. Show up like this. Do like... And it is, like you said, counterculture. Counter to the flesh.
Yes.
Everything about you wants to say,
counter.
It can never be me.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. This mountain, I will stay on it, and this person will come and beg me. But the Holy Spirit said, no, go. And as you do that, you find that this thing is repaired beyond anything that you could even have imagined. And I'm like,
The Holy Spirit stops you from doing damage.
Damage. But you know something else? The Holy Spirit even helps you overcome offense. So I remember...
Oh, yes.
I remember there are times when people have hurt me, even in the course of ministry and stuff. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will say, call the person and make peace. And I'm crying as I'm calling the person. Like, really, Lord? Because if I report this matter to anybody, they will tell me that you are right.
Yes.
And guess what? So that we paint an accurate picture. It's not as if you're telling the person or you're making amends or like, oh, okay, let's talk about it. I know that things are fractured and you're like, okay, I'm sorry for whatever my part is. You think that the person will be like, oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. I should never have hurt you. And I just thank you for just being courageous and bridging the gap. No, the person will be like, yes, and actually, you also did this. And I'll be like...
Hey. You have to swallow it.
Yes, and you did. I'm like, I'm sorry. And I remember I'll get off the phone, I'll cry. But you know what happens? I find that for every one of those moments, something happens in the spirit realm where your influence grows. Yes.
And you rise, you ascend.
And so people will be seeing the fruits. They'll be seeing, oh, how is this about Esther? No. Where Esther is like, Mazino always here. They will not know the sacrifices that you have made in secret.
Yes.
Because guess what? It was never about those people. It's about your capacity expanding for the people that the Lord will have you reach.
Yes. And because that person is literally just in the way.
But even if you're called to people.
Yes.
Guess who's going to offend you the most?
People.
Exactly. So how do you rise to the point where you have capacity for a lot of people? So everything about the devil is that he wants you to contract. Everything about God is that he wants you to expand.
Exactly.
So the devil wants you to
insular you.
I'm telling you, to become smaller, to reduce your life, to reduce your influence. And everything about Lord is, no, you can't. You can't rest here. You can rest here, but you can't rest here. You need to expand.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there's more of the promised land for you to take. There's more capacity to be built. There are more people that need to hear what you're carrying. So this person, like you said, is in the way. Deal with it. Forgive the person.
Yeah.
You know, be at peace. As much as lies with you, be at peace with all men. Then move forward.
That's it.
Move.
And you see, something I love about the Holy Spirit is that he's present.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you're like, God, where are you? But the Holy Spirit is present. You see, in Genesis 1:1-2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Wow.
That means in absolute emptiness and the voidness of anything going on in your life. You know, there are some people, I believe, that feel absolute nothing. You know, it's possible as a Christian to feel numb. You feel numb to happy moments. You feel numb to sad moments. You've stopped feeling. And you see that the Holy Spirit hovers over that nothingness. And the moment he hovers, life begins to start. Because creation's story begins after the Holy Spirit begins to hover. So in every season of our lives, the Holy Spirit is always hovering, and not just hovering now. He's in you, trying to speak, trying to move, trying to compel you to do the bidding of the Lord. I literally sometimes feel like, you know, Jesus is the mediator, thank God. But now he now left us the Holy Spirit, who acts almost like a mediator, who makes you see God's point of view. So to you, it's like, I don't want to forgive. But the Holy Spirit will say, but my daughter, when you do this thing, your heart is going to be so much purer for the people that I'm sending you to. So he mediates and he shows you the bigger picture, which is exactly what the Holy Spirit did in creation.
you know, as you were speaking, I just made a connection I had not made before between Genesis 1:1-2 and Isaiah 60:1-2. So you said that's when life starts. Yes. But I also heard the Lord say that's when light starts.
Hallelujah.
Because it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and this glory of the Lord is risen upon you, right? It's the same hovering, it's the same spirit, the same glory, right? And it says, darkness covered the earth, deep darkness the people. So it's the same spirit that is hovering over you, that is speaking light and life to you, but he wants to not just speak light and life to you, he wants to speak light and life through you. So I always say that the Lord is not, he's not perplexed when he sees darkness or deep darkness.
Well, the ones are always screaming, oh my God, this new form of darkness in the world.
Because he has already made provision for darkness.
Through you.
In verse 1, you are the light. Yes. So if you shine your light, then darkness is dispelled. Yes. It's not a competition between light and darkness. No. Darkness has never been able to survive in the face of light.
So you know, we do this thing as Christians where, I don't know if you've noticed in Christian culture, where let's say a big secular musician will sing a song. We'll now do our own spin-off and rendition of that song, almost to say to the Holy Spirit that the light you are giving me is not enough. I need to adopt what they have to be light. Then you wonder why we're in the state that we're in, because the Holy Spirit is actually not giving people creativity. You're just remixing what the world has already offered.
I don't even know that he's not giving them. They're not receiving
it. They're not receiving it,
And so it's not just an identity crisis.
Yes.
It's also a little bit, well, it's mostly an identity crisis.
Yes, it
but
is.
It's also a little bit of, forgive me, laziness, it right? Is. Because, and that's the thing, even the Bible says to compare yourself with another is foolishness. It's not apples and apples, right?
No.
It's not apples. It's not even apples and oranges.
No.
It's apple and
oil.
Shit, I see what you did there.
It's apples and oil.
Apples and, we're not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah.
We're not.
Completely different.
Completely different. And if you understood that you are supposed to bring light to this world, because it says, you know, you're the light of the church.
Hallelujah.
You are the light of the world. So yet we as Christians have been programmed to almost like all our light, all our oil, use it within the four walls of a church. And as one of my favorite, one of my favorite quotes, he says, this Sunday at Elijah in church shift, he says, we're busy blinding each other with our light and poisoning each other with
can
our
you
salt.
See, can you see? Can you see my light?
Exactly. Oh,
can you see?
Let's go. No, let me. This is what. Oh, the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation 5 days ago. 5 days ago?
2 months ago. What do you mean?
You people
by
are
that?
Baby Christians. I saw this thing 5 years ago.
Yes, now.
I saw this thing 15 years ago. Well, auntie and uncle that you are receiving, what have you done with that revelation? Why is the Lord having to repeat the same message?
Ooh. God, why are you having to say the same thing to multiple people? Who is not listening? Who is not doing what they are supposed to do? Do you know with this, right? This thing about the Holy Spirit. There was a few years ago, I started doing prophetic painting events where I felt like the Lord wanted to speak to people
why
through.
For me now?
That's true.
Why for me now?
I can actually. I'll do it. For your birthday.
Okay. I receive it. Thanks.
The Lord kept pestering me about these prophetic painting events, just little events across Lagos, right? And I just heeded. I was like, okay, God, I don't know. I have no idea what this is going to look like, but I'll do it. Years down the line, someone sends me a DM saying the Lord had given them a vision of doing this thing, and that she sees it and it becomes more aware of her disobedience, right? That's how you know that God speaks to multiple people. You see this podcast, I'm sure that there are 30 other people he gave this title to and said, hi, I want you to do a whole podcast about rest. I want you to promote rest and tell people about how my greatest desire for them is to enter into the rest of God. But somebody probably didn't listen somewhere. And that's why oftentimes it feels like as Christians, we're carrying on 10,000 loads, right? And it's because they're brother and sister, you might not be heeding to the Holy Spirit.
But you know the amazing thing about God?
Yeah.
because some people will be like, oh my God, has my season passed because Mazino has now started this podcast or the prophetic painting? Yeah. No. And that's why I was like, when you talk about, because the thing about it is that nobody can do Mazino like Mazino does.
Nobody can.
Nobody can do Esther like Esther.
So the world is still going to be void of you.
They're waiting for you. Yes. Because nobody can talk about rest the way that you would, from your experiences, 100%. From your own work with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? There are people that look at Mazino and say, oh my God, she's so beautiful. She's so tall. Oh Jesus. I wonder, you know? And they're like, and then they look at Esther. This Esther, what is she always doing? And so there are people that will be drawn to you, Mazino. Yes. There are people that will be drawn to me. Yeah. And that's why the Lord requires all of us to shine our light. So if, because a lot of people say, oh, there's so many people doing stuff about relationships. Mm-hmm. Hello, nobody can do relationships like you. The Lord and the world still need your voice. 100%. So instead of saying, oh, you're looking for what is not lost. Do you get, oh, Lord, show me another purpose. Mm-mm. Do what he's asked you to do.
Yes.
Because you will find that there are people that Mazino, how many people can Mazino reach? Exactly. How many people can Esther reach? Yeah. How many people can Kale reach?
Yes.
But you need more people. The more we all stand up, the easier it is just to force darkness
100%.
back.
100%. And it's almost like you build a barricade of people who are obeying. Mm. So lest you fall, lest you have a need, you can fall into something.
Kale, you fall into a void.
Did you ever play that game when you were younger?
Trust one.
You fall into some people, they will fall. Or they won't be there in the first place.
Yes, and that's why you find that some people, they're like, oh, you know, when I'm looking, I don't have any other Christian to talk to. And they're talking to people that are not Christians. Yeah. And then you find that you're entering into a problem because the small lights that you're managing, they're dimming it out. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is what we need. We actually need more people to join God's army. We need more people to link hands. 100%. We need more people to even show that it can be done.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Sometimes someone else will not believe that it's possible until
you do it.
That's why, you know, I was thinking about it. I felt someone ask a question like in my head this morning, like, but I don't feel the Holy Spirit. I don't hear the Holy Spirit. It doesn't feel like this person talking to me. And I felt the Lord ask, what did you do with the last thing he said to you? Right? So it's like you're waiting for him to speak again. But since he's been speaking, what have you done with what he said? And it doesn't have to be go and start a missionary in Saudi Arabia, right? It might be something as small as pick up your phone and call this person.
Yep.
And when you don't heed to that voice 1, 2, 3, 4 times, the voice will just be quieter and quieter and quieter. And there are two things you probably have to do. Yes, obedience, but you also have to repent. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. I'm sorry for how I've grieved you with my disobedience.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times you don't realize that the first recipient of obedience is you. You think you're doing God a favor. You're not. You're actually the first recipient.
Yes. You may not see that you're receiving, you may not, but you are receiving.
But you are. So, for example, you know, Mazina is doing this podcast and she thinks, oh, I'm blessing people.
Yeah.
But guess what? The Lord is expanding her ability to speak. 100%. He's expanding her ability to empathize, 100%. Expanding her reach.
100%.
And so there are prayers that she has prayed. There are prophecies that have been released. Oh, you're going to go global.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, how will I go global? Yes. Is it by having 1 million followers on Instagram? Yeah. No, it's by obedience.
Yes.
So even, and that's why what she said about even going back to the last instruction, whether it looks like it or not, because God's maths are not our maths, his ways are not our ways.
Yes.
And so because he said, oh, I want you to go and make peace with, and the Holy Spirit is harping on relationships.
Oh,
he's harping on living an offense-free life, because offense actually robs from you. Offense is a thief.
Yes.
It steals from you, you know. And so the Holy Spirit says, go and make peace with that person. Mm. And you're like, no, anything but that. And meanwhile, you don't realize that even in the journey to making peace, even in the going, even in the actual setting out, there is something that he has even put in store on the way. And so you will never know the opportunity cost of your disobedience.
Look at this, right? Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20, for example. Mm. The Lord says, these people, they are different. All the Ites, Ammonites, Ites are coming against Jehoshaphat and his army.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord now says to Jehoshaphat and his people that, hi, I want you to go to the battle lines. Mm. They're like, okay, I'm ready. Well, let's go and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when you get there, I want you to praise. And I want you to praise and say, the mercy of the Lord, you know, endure it forever.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. sing a song of thanksgiving, right?
Mm.
Some of us will not go. We'll just say, God, go and fight my battle for me. I don't want to see right now. They get to the battle lines, and the Bible tells us upon their praise that all the ites that came to fight them, the different people started defeating one another. They started fighting one another. Now, that would have been good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for you to know how much it was for you, the Bible says that those people that came to fight them came with spoils. Who comes with gold and silver to a battle?
Okay.
There was something the Holy Spirit needed them to see and to receive. It was for them. That obedience to go to the battle lines was for them. Because what would have happened? Even if they came and they fought each other and they brought the spoils, other people from other villages would have heard about the spoils and they would have gone to get
That's
it.
That's right.
So it was for them.
It's for them. It's for them. You know, and a lot of times we talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, and we talk about obedience, and it almost seems like it's punishment.
Yeah.
But if you can't get this thing in your heart,
obedience is for
that me. Is for you. It's for you. Is the Lord expanding you into the person that He has created before the foundation of the earth? A lot of times we get prophetic words, and they're talking about someone that almost looks like, who is this person?
Who is this? How will I ever become this person?
Yeah. And you know, one revelation that the Lord showed me this year, and I've been leaning into it, is in Luke chapter 1, I think verse 34. And it says, you know, when Mary asked the question, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And I realized that a lot of us, we know too many men. So we know
my uncle, that one that just got appointed to
I'm telling
that
you,
government agency.
So you have this idea, or the Lord gives you this vision, and automatically you're thinking about who can I call?
You.
Who can I? You know, even this one that was just started April. There are people that, you know, are saying, "Oh, happy new month." Yes. Oh, I just want to wish you that.
No,
you don't need all of that.
No, you don't.
Because the one person that you need to know is the Holy Spirit. And He says, when He says, "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" He says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you.
Yes.
The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Meaning that the how is a person. The how.
Not men. It's one person.
The how is the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so for those, the bridge, say, okay, from promise
to
fulfillment,
the
answer is
the
not you hitting your head. It's not you trying to do business plan. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the answer. So I'm not even turning it to a prayer point. The Holy Spirit, when I'm asked the question how, answer for me.
Yes.
Answer for me. Yes. Answer for me, Holy Spirit.
And I think
Spirit.
We sometimes we have a lot of shame in saying, the Holy Spirit will carry me, or the Holy Spirit will do it. You know, so let's say someone asks you a question and you're like, Holy Spirit, please help me. Someone be like, what do you mean by that? Just answer. Ah, God, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea that it's only possible with His help. And you see, I'm realizing more and more that walking with the Holy Spirit always begins with desire.
Yeah.
And you cannot desire a person you don't know.
Ooh.
Which is why we can say all these things, right? And a lot of what we're talking about will come off to you as hearsay evidence.
Mm.
It's things that we have experienced. But in the court of justice, as a lawyer, I can tell you for a matter of fact that if it's first-hand evidence or second-hand evidence, hearsay evidence, they will never take the word of somebody who has not seen something and experienced something with their senses against somebody who just heard about it, right? I don't believe that God's desire is that you just hear other people's stories about the Holy Spirit and then you say, wow, amazing. If you want to know the Holy Spirit, meet Him in the Word of God.
Yep.
Understand what He's done through people in Scripture. It was when I read, you know, there's a prayer I pray every week. On Monday, it comes up as an alarm. Pray for creativity, that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you.
Mm.
And it came from me reading Scripture about Bezaleel and Oholiab, the first people the Bible tells us that the Spirit came upon. And I read that and I was like, these two people were creatives.
Mm.
God, help me to be creative, but you have to encounter the Word of God because that's what will give you the desire to listen to the Holy Spirit and be like, Holy Spirit, how can you work in me?
That's so key. And this thing that you've spoken about locating yourself in the Word, because there's some people that are like, oh, when I try and read the Bible, it's boring. But you need to ask, you say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself and reveal me. Yes. Like, reveal yourself and then reveal me in through the pages of the Holy Spirit, yes. Of the book. And for me, at different points in my journey, Gideon has been my guy, mm. right? Because, you know, there's this little pipsqueak of a girl that the Lord is saying, I want you to do this, and there's so amazing things. And I'm like, but I don't feel like I'm resourced. I don't feel like I have the things that will help me or equip me to do these things. And then you see the perfect example of someone who thought he was the least in his father's house. So there are people that are listening and they're like, oh, but you can say that.
Yes, because it's
you have the platform. Mm, you have this, you have that. No, but there are archetypes, even in the scripture, of people who felt under-resourced. But guess what? Even in his under-resourced state, when it was time to come take down the idols in his father's house, he had 10 people follow him. So meaning that he was able to influence 10 people. So you don't even realize that even where you are, there are people that you can influence.
Yes.
Now, one of my favorite parts of Gideon's story is Judges 6 verse 34, where it says, and he blew the trumpet. Mm-hmm. And one says the Holy Spirit came upon him. Another translation says that the Holy Spirit wore him like a glove.
Ah, Holy Spirit, wear me like a glove.
I don't want. What's my own? You coming on top? No. Please, from inside.
Wear me like a glove.
Esther is more interesting. What does Esther have to say? Yeah, but when you show up, oh my God, you make all the difference. You make all the difference. And we know the story of Gideon, and it sounds like a beautiful story. Oh, that's so nice. 300 against what was like locust on the beach. So, I don't know if you know Bar Beach, Atlanta. Which beach do they have abroad? Which beach can they have? Miami Beach. Mm. You know, think about an army that looked like grains of sand on the beach. And think about, even when you had 32,000, they were grossly outnumbered, not about 300. And so a lot of times we feel like, oh God, if I had more followers, if I had more money, if I had more this, you don't need all the things that you need.
Do you know that if you don't learn the obedience with the 10, you will never learn it with the 2 million. And the more we speak about this, so you see what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell Gideon is that your insignificance is insignificant. Your how insignificant you feel that you are, you know, he didn't tell him that actually you are a little bit insignificant. He just told him that this insignificance that you're feeling, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Go forth.
In fact, he calls him, but even, see, here's the thing. Yes, go in this might of yours, I might not send you. But then he says, speaks to him based on how he has recorded him in the book of life before the foundation of the earth.
Not through what he can see.
So, have you ever seen it in the Bible? I don't know, educate me if I'm wrong. Mm. Where the Holy Spirit or the angel of the Lord shows up and the person says, oh, I'm the least in my father's house. Or the other person says, how shall these things? And he says, it's true. Ah. I actually made a mistake. You're not the one I was looking for.
Yeah, let me go and
find. Oh, no, it's true. He addresses, he says, mighty man of valor. For Mary, he says, blessed and highly favored. I don't care how you're looking at yourself, but when I look at you, this is what I see. But I'm willing to walk with you and walk with you until you become what I see. Mm. But you now have to decide that you're going to partner with God. So like Mary, be it unto me according to your word.
You see, now we're seeing the Holy Spirit throughout the Word of God, which is what I love.
Yeah.
Because even though, it feels like, okay, he came and to abide in people in the New Testament, but he was always present, which is why the Trinity is so complex, but it is so beautiful.
Yeah.
One thing that I found interesting about the Holy Spirit is that you see prophesying and having dreams. Mm. Is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in you.
Mm-mm.
You see, he lives within followers of Jesus and produces with them character.
You want to go there?
Yeah, let's go. Galatians 5:22. If you're looking for the Holy Spirit in a person, not be for mouth.
It's not with the gifts.
It's not with the gifts.
Not the gift.
Because the gifts of God are without what?
Repentance.
Thank you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy.
Joy.
Peace, forbearance.
What's forbearance in English?
Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness.
Self-control.
Against such things, there is no law.
Mm.
So if some of us are wondering, has the Holy Spirit been doing anything in me? The fact that you know, normally that road rage, you will be insulting people on the road. Now you just hiss. Now you just kiss your teeth, right? Instead of insulting people, the Holy Spirit is moving in you.
Yeah.
Because all these things are what we should be looking out for to know that the Holy Spirit is operating within the believer.
Yes.
Go there.
Last year, I remember telling the Holy Spirit, I was in the shower where all the great conversations happened, right? And I said, Holy Spirit, I'm like, Holy Spirit, just give me 24 hours. Just give me a 24-hour pass to just do what I want to do. To just speak my mind. College. Do you understand? So just you get like just give me 24 hours to just do, like just, you know, give everybody a piece of my mind. And the first thing I said, if you share your mind in different pieces, what will be remaining? Number one. Number two, he says you can't afford to do that because you are royalty. And I say, sir, because sometimes we can be stubborn, even though we are repentant in the name of Jesus. I said, sir, there's a member of the royal family now who is actually trying to burn everything down, you know? And he was like, that's because he doesn't think that he has anything more to gain. Yeah. Well, you are just starting this journey. There's so much that I want to do in and through you. So you can't afford to just act like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why you now realize that one of the greatest gifts that the Holy Spirit can give to you is putting you, enrolling you in His school of the fruits.
Hallelujah.
And it says fruit. It doesn't say
the fruit. Fruit.
Fruit.
It's one.
Fruit. Fruit. And that fruit is the evidence of the Holy Spirit living
in
you.
That's it.
Meaning that if you have allowed the Holy Spirit to expand Himself, so you're not giving Him, you know, one corner there, just I mean, we know we're supposed to have you, so just stay. No, if you said, Holy Spirit, expand yourself in me, like, wear me like a glove, show up completely, then He says, okay, let's go there then. So I remember, I was sharing with you guys recently when I was talking about how I was in a prayer meeting and one of my mentors was talking about how, you know, about that scripture, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 9:17 that says, I beat my body into subjection, right? And he was talking about how you must win the war over the flesh. See, this thing we're talking about is a mature story. This is when we're moving from comforter to teacher.
Hey, this is
when you are entering. So when you're like, because...
To pruner.
because you know, you have all these words. Oh, 2024 is going to be different. 2024 is my year of quantum leap. It's my year of ruling and reigning. Do you know what it means to be a leader? Do you know what
the self-control that you need?
Do you know
the patience that you need?
Do you know that Esther chapter 1, King Ahasuerus was so angry with the fact that Vashti called Queen Vashti to come and she didn't show up. Because she had seen him finish, we'll talk about another day, right? He called her to come and he says he was angry. But as angry as he was, he made no move until he called the 7 wise men, the 7 princes who understood what to do according to the law. Meaning that when you get to kingship, there's a level of restraint that is required so that when you are angry, you cannot move.
God, I want to be like David. Do you have the self-control to not defeat Saul? When you can,
when you're like, the Lord has given me. In fact, there's some
people. There's a table made for you in the presence of your enemy.
They make mistake and give some of us promotion. No, not me in the name of
Jesus. Not you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, but they make mistake and your enemy falls into your
hand. It's a wrap.
But and you see it, and it's and that's why the Lord allows us to go through the process. Listen, if you look at even Joseph, when his brothers finally show up and. He was already, as the Lord had put him through his school. He had been in that school for like 13 years, right? At least 13 years before he became prime minister. We don't know how many, 7 years of plenty. So we're talking about 20 years. And then we're now in famine. So let's say like 20 something odd years. Yeah. And then he now is confronted with his family. He used them to play game now.
The Holy Spirit is the only thing that stopped Joseph from starving those people to death.
Number one, or leaving them in prison. That's because it. He still put, who did he put? One of the brothers.
Yeah, one of the brothers.
Was it Judah? The one
to
that
wait
said,
for his,
I'm telling
his
you.
Younger
he
puts
him in, as he first messed with them, put money inside Benjamin. As he just messed
So I'm sure
them.
The devil is already whispering to him at this point.
Show
just
them
take them
pepe.
Out.
Show them pepe.
You're
show
the leader pepe. Now. You show, can't starve them
show,
to death.
Show them pepe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one that had even been in the Holy Spirit school. So imagine if it had happened when he was 17, which was his desire. As in, nobody would have heard word. So some of us, right, the process between the P, you know, because Joseph is full of P's, right? The process between the promise and the prime minister or the ruling in Pharaoh's house, that process is to weed out all the things that will cause you to be an oppressor to the people of
the people
that
to the Holy Spirit that does that. There, nothing else will do. People want to sit down and become more patient. patient. Somebody must test you for you to rise up in patience. Yes. You see, now I want us to get our minds out of mysticism and know that the Holy Spirit doesn't just talk to you about things, about the end times, or about people. He corrects and he convicts your heart. You see, scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. And you know why that scripture stood out to me so much? It didn't say it convicts the children of God from sin. Which means sometimes when people hear the things of God and they get offended,
it's conviction
by the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of sin. So when people can watch something you say and be like, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin. That means the Holy Spirit's job transcends even the body that we are in and is in the world. That's why somebody can, I don't know why I feel like it's wrong, I just feel like I wasn't supposed to do this thing. This person has not given their life to Christ, but the Holy Spirit is convicting the world.
And that's why you find that there's so much of a campaign to almost like blur the lines about what is wrong. You know, you see people doing things that, you know, are, they make no sense, but then you're called judging, you're called this, you're called that, live and let live. But you and I know, plus the person that is doing it, that, hello, auntie, this is not good. Stop it.
You see, the Holy Spirit, I like, if I think about even the fruits of the Spirit, how I've risen beyond what I ever thought was possible. Right. Let's say even something like self-control, right? I spoke earlier about the Holy Spirit being my comforter. And even in that place of comfort, right, I was so bound to my feelings. I was so bound to my emotions. And I feel like the thorn in my flesh was and still often is the addiction to sadness, right? So the Holy Spirit had to give me self-control even in that place of sadness to make me know that you have self-control not to just subject yourself to your bed and shut your blinds and be sad in your bedroom. There were some Sundays that I wondered if I had the strength to get out of bed or if I would just wallow in self-pity and in pain. It's the Holy Spirit that got me out of bed. So the hard things, the simple things, everything, I have experienced all dimensions of the Holy Spirit as my advocate, as my friend, as my comforter, as the one who prunes me with the word of God. So I don't want us to think about him in such a mystical way, but as a person who wants you to be formed, not unto men, but to be formed like Christ.
You know, I mean, just before we move on to, when I was talking earlier about beating the flesh into submission, and so my mentor was talking about how for him, he loves food. So food is his thing. So, but he's like, no, food cannot have, power over me. So he goes off food 3 days out of seven in a week. Now, when he was speaking, he was like, but there's some people who food is not their thing. Right? And I realized that food is not really my thing, but feelings. So I found, because like, I'm so, like, feelings is a major part of my work, a major part of what I do and all of that stuff. But feelings also have the ability to truncate me, like almost like to stop me from doing what I need to do. And so the Lord was like, no, you have to rise above what you feel, right? You have to develop capacity to be able to feel something and still move, still be able to press through, press forward. So that's what, you know, when you were talking about rising above feelings or getting out of bed, you know, I realized that that's, so what is your F word? What is that thing? Yes. What is the what word, the flesh, the fox, the little foxes that, you know, are spoiling the vine, are spoiling the tenderness of what God wants to do in and through you?
Because it's the Holy Spirit disciplines, you know, and when we hear discipline, we're like, hey, but I can tell you that it has been in the most beautiful way. The way the Holy Spirit has disciplined me, even the fact that I can sit here and I can be laughing and have joy. I used to be very stoic. Like, I didn't feel like it was possible to feel the emotion of genuine happiness and joy. And it's the Holy Spirit. Again, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy. Again, to the believers who believe that they should just be serious and that's how your sign of maturity is, your seriousness. Your sign of maturity is the amount of joy that you have.
That table, are we ready for that table?
No, maybe we won't touch that table, one that today. Table. That's a larger table.
Because you know that when you are actually like mature, you have to show up like this. You have to strain your words. Because you have to show the people that you are carrying words of weight and power.
No, you can't say power.
Kado. Shake off.
We promise we'll behave. Hallelujah. Right. So the issue now is that people can listen to this thing and be like, wow, the Holy Spirit is so romantic. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Walking with the Holy Spirit. We said to each other that, you see, the disciples, when they were on the water, it was all well and good until they were about to drown.
They said, sir, something is happening right now. We're on water. It sounded romantic when you say, come out of the boat. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, no, of course, Lord. Yeah. We'll come out of the boat. You know, then you're like, sir. It's like, I look back, I look front, I look around me. It's water. Just water. So, do you have a point? As what are we
do
doing
you know
on
the
this water?
The saddest thing about this is that the fact that it was water, it wasn't just like a land dune or whatever. These people were fishers. So, they know what water can do.
Yeah.
They know what it is for a boat to capsize. They probably heard stories. They've probably been beaten by the winds of the waves. And it was 2 times that the Lord threatened them with water.
And you know, but you know, the interesting thing about it, there were 2 comfort zones in that story. There was in the boat and there was in the water.
Yes.
So he now transcends and puts them on the water. So they're like, I know what to do in the boat.
Yeah.
I know what to do in the water.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with this one.
Yes.
I'm not familiar. And a lot of times when the Lord wants to expand us, He will remove us from what is familiar, put us in places and spaces that are, so that we can now focus our gaze on Him. But we start to drown when we remove our gaze from Him and begin to look back to what is comfortable or the people that we left in seeming comfort and how we feel like they're enjoying their lives or not.
Yes. And you see, the Holy Spirit is not a teacher who says to you, bring your homework. Okay, I've given you this task. Go and do it. Then you now go off and do it. No. And then He now comes to check if you've done your homework well. Mm-mm. He's the person that gives you a task and then holds your hand whilst you're on that journey to make sure that you dot every I and cross every T. One thing I love is that the Holy Spirit will always teach us the truth about Jesus.
Yes.
It says in John 14:26 that, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So even that, you know, sometimes people are like, I can't remember what God is saying. You can't remember scripture. You're struggling to read the word of God. Try doing it with the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And He amplifies the message.
Oh, yes.
You know, we just come out from Easter. And I mean, we love Easter. But this Easter, I almost found myself in tears. And you know how you can be so accustomed to something.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, yo, I got 2 kids. I'm not giving
none
them
of
for
them.
Any- Who are you? You know,
saying, you know, you're like, Abraham, good on you, bro. Well done. Not me.
And the Lord notice me in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know? And I'm like, you gave your only, your most beloved. And it's not the same thing as giving yourself, right? Because you can say, oh, okay, don't worry. Don't take my children. Take me instead.
Yeah.
To take the thing that you love the most and give it for who?
For people who? That don't give 2 rats about you.
Ah. No, that love is beyond. Even if you knew He was going to come back, you're like, the 3 days.
Anguish.
And that's the sacrifice. And so the verse that kept playing in my head is, He who gave His only begotten Son, will He not freely give you all things?
Yes.
If He has given you the thing that is most important, the thing that He holds in the highest esteem, what is it that you're asking Him for? So you're like, Lord, if you're really God, just give me 5 million. If you're really God, give me a spouse. If you're really God. He's already giving you the highest and the greatest and the most beloved thing He could ever give you. So if He's telling you that you will be married, if He's telling you that you will have businesses, if He's telling you that you have great ministries and influence, best believe it's already going to happen because He's already giving you the most important thing.
The most precious thing you could have ever given.
But guess what? And then He now leaves with you the Holy Spirit. He's like, you can't lose. If you understood that, you would walk different.
You will act different. You will talk different. Everything about you will change.
You will be different.
I think now that I come to... Because, you know, there are times in your life where you can prepare to speak. Mm. You can, you have that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they will tell you, you're speaking in 3 months. Now, on the job, you know, the, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you guys that I had to take service, right? And I was in a lot of pain the day before. The Holy Spirit told me a few things. He didn't complicate things for me. He said, Moses prayed. I said, okay. He said, talk about Moses' four prayers, first four prayers. Somebody would have heard that sermon and thought that I wrestled for 100 days. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the luxury. In fact, all I had was 2 hours the night before, the 2 hours that I wasn't in pain to be able to read Moses' prayers and extract. Who did the work? The Holy Spirit. I just sat there. I just made myself available. So again, make yourself available.
And a lot of times people hear that and they'll be like, oh, doesn't that mean that, you know, I mean, I don't want to be late. God gave me a brain for a reason. What can I do? No, that brain is like, see, when you understand, like I said in Psalms 139 verse 16, when you understand that you're an actor in a script, then like an actor, you take the lines, you take the your part, and you apply your spirit of excellence to the part. But you don't try and reinvent the wheel. Lord, this is who you want me to be. Then I apply everything. I submit everything. I surrender everything to playing this part that you've given to me to play.
May we play the part.
Amen.
Not anybody else's part. You see, the Holy Spirit has a beautiful ability to keep you in your lane because our eyes like to wander. Can I try this? Let me, this person is doing this. This is what's big right now. The Holy Spirit disciplines you and keeps you focused on exactly what God needs at every given time. Another thing I love about the Holy Spirit is that He gives you the power to share the faith.
Yes, with boldness.
Yes, with boldness. Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Scripture says, I have not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. You now realize that when you love somebody, you can't keep quiet. You become that annoying person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just want to tell you about my boo.
If you don't want to hear about God, don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I told somebody recently, I said, if you have saved me before from death, save me from plane crash, then maybe I can talk about you. But if you have not done anything, if you have not saved me, whether spiritually, mentally, physically, please allow me to talk about the one who keeps getting me, who keeps saving me from myself, saving me from crazy situations. I must talk about him.
Saves me from myself. That's so real. That's so, some of us don't know what we're capable of. I've seen it in dreams, what I'm capable of. Then the Holy Spirit in the dream. You know, once I had a dream where I was so angry at someone, I was shouting, I was fighting them. I was doing all sorts of things. The Holy Spirit was like, take heed or else that dream will be your reality. You see, the Bible begins and ends with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever noticed, right? Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2 talks about the Holy Spirit. And then now, Revelation 22, 16 to 17, it says this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to the churches. My angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The Holy Spirit is in the beginning and the end. And my prayer, our prayer for you is that your lives will begin and end with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the sadness of being in the spirit and ending in the flesh. And I pray that it will not be said of us that we began in the spirit and then we ended in the flesh. We will finish well and we will finish in the spirit. I don't know if you want to pray for people.
I just thank you for this beautiful, beautiful people listening to this podcast. They didn't come here by mistake. They came here by appointment. And so, Holy Spirit, teacher, lover, comforter, guide, be realer to them than the nose on their face, in the name of Jesus. For those who have said, oh Holy Spirit, I wish I could hear you like they seem to hear you, I pray that you show up in ways that they cannot ignore, in the name of Jesus. You know how to reach them. You know how to get right to the recesses of their heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you partner with them now. Make it easy for them to love you. Make it easy for them to trust you. Make it easy for them to obey you, in the name of Jesus. The world needs you, Holy Spirit. Spirit. Yes. So I pray for as many as are willing and ready to be yielded to you, yes, Holy Spirit, that they will find it easy, oh God. They will find it easy to dive into your waters, amen, to be flooded by your love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Empower them. Empower, amen, them, because it's not by power, it's not, yes, by might, but it's by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will empower them. You will empower them with the power and the grace, yes, to do all that you have purpose for them to do, to be all that you have purpose for them to, amen, be. Thank you, Father God, because there will be testimonies, yes, in Jesus' God, mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I also want to pray for anyone who has not accepted Jesus, yeah, as their Lord and Savior. Why? The Holy Spirit cannot live in you, mm, until you accept Jesus. Mm. So I pray that as you're listening to this and you're like, wow, what a beautiful life this is to walk with God, to know the heart of God. I pray that you will receive his Son. Yeah. You will confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, mm, and your Savior. Mm. And you will acknowledge what the price that he paid on that cross was for you and was for the Holy Spirit to come, mm, and live in you. And Father, for anyone who has ignored the Holy Spirit or suppressed his movement in their lives, Father, I pray that they will be reacquainted intimately with the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We, amen, love you guys, yes, and we pray you've enjoyed this. And please like, subscribe, share all the good stuff. And thank you, Dr. Esther.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.